This is Truth Frequency Radio.
The Wicked Ones, obviously under heavy Masonic influence.
Hello. Welcome once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning. Welcome to the program. My name is JD. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We are on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com and hop into the chat room this morning. Lots of the familiar faces in there already, and we've got a huge show for you guys today. I'm not lying. This is going to be a big one, one for the record books. Today is Monday, which is unfortunate. I understand that, but it is also the 20th day of April, and some of you out there might, I don't know, be considering today a holiday. I hope that if you guys are out there celebrating today, you do it very safely, and just as a important public safety announcement here, try not to eat too many cookies today. That's pretty much where I'm going to leave that. I hope if you guys are celebrating, though, do be safe out there. And, yeah, so that's where I'm at with that. Anyways, appreciate you guys all being here this morning. As I said, we have got a huge show for you guys today. Dr. Bill Deagle is going to be joining us in about a half an hour. We'll be talking about Fukushima, bring us all up to date with what exactly is going on over there. It's hard to stay on top of Fukushima. Because A, they're not in the habit of telling us exactly the truth, when it comes to Fukushima. And also, you know, for those of us here in the States or those of you guys who's joining us from the UK today, you know, it's on the other side of the planet. It's not something that we think about a lot and it's not something they put in the news. But I gotta be honest, it is a pretty scary situation, and, Dr. Bill Deagle has got a lot of experience and expertise in the arena, of Fukushima, nuclear things like that. So, he's going to be able to talk to us about that and bring us up to speed on exactly what's going on over there. I would definitely recommend checking out his two websites, ironandclay.com and also nutramedical.com. Man, the guy has got honestly more letters behind his name than he does in his name. So there's really nobody in the world that I'd rather bring to you guys to talk to us about Fukushima today than Dr. Bill Deagle. So that's what we're going to be doing in about an hour. We will have Jamie Hanshaw on the show tomorrow. We'll be talking about the occult and mind control, and I'm going to see if I can push her a little bit on this iPet Go 2 video and also that CERN dance. There's been a lot of stuff that we've been talking about on the Woo Crew. I don't know if you caught Friday's show with Anthony Patch, but wow, talk about an amazing show Friday night, and bringing everybody up to speed on what's going on with CERN and really who is behind the scenes there running the show. And Jamie Hanshaw brings a lot of that same information to light. So I'm definitely looking forward to talking to her tomorrow. Obviously, Wednesday is going to be an outstanding show here at Red Pill Reports. The one and only Kev Baker will be joining us for the entire 2 hours. I have no idea what we're going to do. Probably go over the news. I'll probably ask him some fairly offensive questions regarding Scotland because I don't know anything about Scotland. So anyway, it's going to be a blast. Definitely looking forward to that. We've got Robbie Holes joining us on Thursday. He is an author. He's written quite a few books, actually. But the things that we're going to be talking about are his two books, The Secrets of Aboriginal Healing and Aboriginal Secrets of Awakening. So we're going to be talking about natural health from an Aboriginal standpoint and talk a little bit about their culture and things like that. He's written these great books. I've only gotten through about one of them so far, not quite all the way through one of them, but I'm definitely looking forward to speaking with him on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday is going to be another fantastic show, too, because we've got Joel Karsten on. Joel Karsten wrote a book about the straw bale gardens, pretty much the creme de la creme of straw bale gardening books. If you're interested in starting a garden, that you don't have to weed, ladies and gentlemen. If you're like me, somebody who's kind of lazy, or maybe you're a renter, somebody who doesn't have the ability to really just dig into the soil and mess up your landlord's yard, strawberry gardens are the way to go, guys. And so we're going to bring Joel on the show Friday. Really looking forward to talking to him again, because it's just about that time of year. I thought, you know, over the weekend, it was pretty nice here, and I thought, man, I probably ought to start thinking about getting some plants in the ground here or in my straw bales. And then last night it got down in the 40s. I was talking to my buddy Robert the other day. He lives in Denver, and he was telling me that he had snow last week. And I told him, no matter what you do, Robert, love you to death, brother, but don't send it my way. And he just laughed and hung up the phone. And of course now it's freezing outside. It's not freezing, but it's cold enough that I'm glad that I've held off on my garden until this week. So hopefully we'll get you guys all squared away on the strawberry garden thing here. And I gotta tell you too, this is going to be an amazing show because we have some exclusive, absolutely exclusive information regarding these Walmart closures. A lot of you guys out there probably wondering what in the hell is going on with these Walmart closures. And I kind of went into the weekend thinking that exact thing, just thinking, okay, this is kind of strange. But there have been some stories that have been broken. And then, you know, I like to sing your accolades out there, listeners, all the time. We have got the best listeners in the world here at Truth Frequency Radio. And I got to tell you, a lot of them tune in for our broadcast here at the Red Pill Reports. And one of our good listeners, one of our good friends who's also a listener, has been a listener for a long time now, went to town this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. This gentleman pulled in, I'm talking, he must have spent an entire day doing research on these Walmarts and some of the coincidences that run rampantly through these three closures, or the five closures of the Walmarts that we've been talking about. I gotta give credit where credit is due. This guy, Dave in Texas, has just done an absolutely outstanding job pulling some of the pieces to this Walmart closure story together. And I really want to share all this with you guys, because again, you know, we are 100% listener supported, which means we don't get to pay our internet bills unless we get help from you guys. But at the same time too, you know, the whole reason that we're here is to create this forum so that other listeners, other investigative journalists, and other guests can all meet in the middle, and we can all share all this information. And I tell you, this this Walmart research that Dave in Texas put together for us here is you're not going to hear it anyplace else. It's going to make it's going to make the hair on your back of your neck stand up, I promise. And B, you know, it's because we're able to do this here that we're able to bring information like this to the table. So I'm really excited to be sharing this with you guys here in just a little bit. Let's get into some international news here. There are some things happening around the world that we probably need to be aware of. But then when we get into the national news here, talking specifically about the United States, I'll start getting into this Walmart situation. Okay, so let's hop into the international stuff here. As many as 700 people are feared dead right now after a fishing boat packed with migrants capsized off the Libyan coast overnight in what officials say might be the Mediterranean's worst disaster, as thousands are fleeing poverty and war in Europe, or as they're trying to get to Europe right now. So top officials in Europe, who recently downsized border protection program, has been criticized by international aid groups. They said urgent action was needed. The EU foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, said that foreign ministers would discuss the issue at a meeting in Luxembourg today on Monday. If confirmed, the death toll would bring to 1,500 the total number of dead since the beginning of the year, resulting from the flow of migrants seeking to flee insecurity in sub-Saharan Africa and the Middle East. And only last week, about 400 migrants were reported to have died attempting to reach Italy from Libya when their boat capsized. So on Sunday, 28 people were rescued and 24 bodies were recovered from the 20-meter-long vessel, which sank around 70 miles from the Libyan coast, south of the southern Italian island of Lampedusa, which is the Italian, according to the Italian Coast Guard. The European Nations High Commission for Refugees, or UNHCR, said later that about 50 people had been rescued of the 700 total that were on board. Again, this marks potentially the worst Mediterranean disaster involving migrants since the beginning of the year, if not ever. Absolutely tragic situation. Another 700 people just trying to escape war-torn area in sub-Saharan Africa and also in the Middle East, trying to get to Italy, and we're not successful. So again, tragic, tragic news there. Also, talking about the situation in Yemen right now. Whoa, my chat room just caught right. Holy cow, there's a whole bunch of people in the chat room. Sometimes my chat room isn't exactly on point, guys. So we just so I haven't said hi to all you guys in the chat room. It's because you all just popped in there right now. So anyway, thank you guys for all hanging out with us this morning. Appreciate you guys being in there. Let's see here. Iran. We're talking about Iran and we're talking about Yemen right now. Iran apparently is sending an armada of 7 to 9 ships, some with weapons, towards Yemen in a potential attempt to resupply the Shia Houthi rebels, according to U.S. defense officials. Officials feared this move could lead to a showdown with the U.S. or other members of the Saudi-led coalition, which is currently right now enforcing a naval blockade of Yemen and is conducting its fourth week of airstrikes against the Houthis. Iran sent a destroyer and another naval vessel to waters near Yemen last week, but said it was part of a routine counter-piracy mission. And what's unusual about this new deployment, which set out last week, is that the Iranians are not trying to conceal it right now. Instead, they appear to be trying to communicate it to the United States and its allies in the Gulf. It's not clear what will happen when the convoy does get to Yemen. Saudi Arabia has deployed ships around Yemen to enforce the blockade, as has Egypt. An official said the ship convoy could try to land at a port in Aden, which the Houthis have taken over. And although the U.S. is assisting with the Saudi-led air campaign, it is not participating in the naval blockade of Yemen, according to U.S. Central Command spokesperson Colonel Pat Ryder. However, the U.S. Navy is in the region and has already consensually boarded one Panamanian-flagged ship on April 1st on the suspicion that it was carrying illegal arms for the Houthis. None were found at the time, but the move did raise alarm bells in Washington over an increasingly active U.S. military role in the conflict. And the Pentagon does indicate now that there will potentially be more boardings later this week. So again, the situation in Yemen has not subsided at all. Iran now getting ready to send or have already sent an armada between 7 and 9 ships to the coast there in Yemen, potentially to try and rearm some of these Houthi rebels, but it remains to be seen what's actually going to happen when they get there. You know, it's a tenuous situation right now, especially given the fact that Iran and Iraq are so close in terms of their alignment. And you also have to wonder, too, how this Iranian ship convoy is going to play into the continuing negotiations with Israel and with Iran and with the United States here. So, we've basically got two fronts going right now. On one side, it appears that we're allies of Iran working with them to try and get this nuclear issue resolved. And at the same time, you know, we're essentially providing intelligence to the Saudis. And we're also, as of last week, starting to refuel some of their aircraft. So again, just kind of strange bedfellows that are being created there right now. And in a related story, there are apparently tens of thousands of East African refugees and asylum seekers being left behind in Yemen right now. There's really no safe option for evacuation. And there's also the other side of the coin, which a lot of these people don't have a home country that might actually take them in. So escape from Yemen right now has been pretty arduous, even for foreign citizens and wealthy Yemenis. The airport right now is under fire and commercial transportation has been cut off, forcing the most desperate to charter simple power boats and to make the harrowing journey across the Red Sea. And the Red Sea is obviously, another situation where we're going to start losing a whole bunch of refugees, people drowning, things like that. So really, really bad situation still. Again, more than 250,000 registered Somali, Ethiopian, and Eritrean refugees and asylum seekers. The situation is even worse for these people. The UN High Commissioner for Refugees and its partners have a contingency plan to try and receive 100,000 refugees in Somalia's relatively stable regions of Somaliland and Puntland, and another 30,000 in Djibouti, but the process is supposed to unfold over the next 6 months, and it is barely underway right now. So again, at least 250,000 East African refugees are currently trapped in Yemen right now. We've seen reports of China and Russia both pulling their own personnel and some foreign people out of Yemen, but 200,000 is a lot, and it doesn't look like they have much of a plan to get them out right now. A new video released by the so-called Islamic State affiliates in Libya was released over the weekend, and it purports to show the killing of two different groups of Ethiopian Christians. This is a 29-minute video, shows two groups of captives held by the Islamic State, described by on-screen text as followers of the cross from the enemy Ethiopian church. And it says one of the groups is being held by an ISIS affiliate in eastern Libya, and the other is being held south of the country, and each group had about 15 captives. A spokesman for the Ethiopian government said that they could not confirm that their country's citizens were the ones killed in the video. But this video, in the video, a masked fighter brandishes a pistol, threatening Christians to convert to Islam or to pay with their lives. And he describes Christians as crusaders whose goal is to kill Muslims. And the footage then shows both groups of captives being killed by the terrorists. And one group is beheaded and the other shot to death. They're still trying to validate, you know, the authenticity of this video. But again, pretty dire stuff here. A 29-minute video coming out showing more ISIS executions in two different places in Libya. Unbelievable. Also in the story of ISIS right now, Der Spiegel, the German newspaper, revealed this weekend some pretty interesting details about this ISIS organization. So that German magazine cited secret papers of the strategic head of ISIS, who was reportedly killed in a firefight back in 2014, but who left behind information regarding a trove of blueprints for ISIS intelligence services, the structure, and the plans of a takeover of large parts of Syrian territory. And page by page, the documents reveal a very sophisticated plan, not so much for jihad, but for building a caliphate run by cold calculations. And the organizational charts and chain of command drawn by the top strategist reveal a clearly defined Secret Service structure with surveillance and security departments, prison and interrogation divisions, weapons and technology experts, as well as Sharia judges and instructors. And the records, according to Spiegel, contain details of ISIS espionage operations and other intelligence activities to covertly gain power in territories of their interest, and also to make sure that no dissent would be possible after an actual armed takeover. And it goes on and on and on. But, man, some of the things that they were doing there really, really sound a whole lot like CIA par for the course type tactics right now. One of the things they talk about in here is taking people from the local communities and appointing them as Sharia sheikhs, training them for a while and then killing them so that they could absolutely ensure penetration of the areas without anybody knowing it. So we're talking about some cold-blooded caliphate type people here in terms of ISIS, and pretty interesting now that they have been released. They've released some information through Der Spiegel talking about just how well organized ISIS actually is. Makes sense though if they're a CIA spinoff. Really, from what I understand though, a lot of the guys who are in charge of ISIS came out of Saddam Hussein's kind of upper echelon, which obviously we would have had cahoots with when we put Saddam in power. So it makes sense that these people would continue working along in the same vein as they did before. Let's move down into Mexico here real quick. There were gunfights and vehicles were set on fire on Friday in one of Mexico's largest cities along the U.S. border. And this was after security forces arrested a leader of one of the main drug gangs in the area. So activity in parts of Reynosa, a city across the Rio Grande from McAllen, Texas, ground to a halt on Friday after vehicles were torched and shootings began, according to authorities. Earlier in the day, federal police and Marines captured El Gafe, who is a leader of the Gulf Cartel, and the federal government security official, speaking on condition of anonymity, identified El Gafe as Jose Hugo Rodriguez Sanchez. And the official had earlier named the cartel boss as Jose Tiburcio Hernandez Fuentes, but later he clarified that Hernandez was a different suspected gang member also captured in this incident. Three suspected assailants were killed and two state police were injured, according to the state government in a statement issued Saturday. Reynosa has been one of the most violent cities in Mexico over the last year, racked by turf wars among the Gulf Cartel and the Zetas, two drug gangs fighting for control of the border smuggling routes and crime rackets. More than 100,000 people have died in gang-related violence in Mexico over the last 8 years. There's been a lot of indication that the president, Nieto, was going to restore order when he took office in 2012, but the homicide count still remains pretty high. It has fallen a little bit, but it still remains pretty high. Let's go over to important news coming out of North Korea. I don't want to leave Mr. Kim Jong-un out of anything. Is there really anything that this guy can't do, ladies and gentlemen? That's the question on the table right now. Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader, has apparently climbed the country's highest mountain, according to state media there in North Korea. The dictator arrived at the summit on Sunday morning to tell waiting troops that hiking to the top of the snow-covered 9,000-foot Mount Paektu provided mental energy more powerful than weapons of mass destruction. It's important to note, too, that while he was standing at the summit, his hair, the brand-new haircut that he's got, actually became the tallest and most powerful point in North Korea. Just saying. I love this guy. He's so funny. He's got to be the most adorable, you know, international dictator that there could possibly be. I love the fact that he gets all the way to the top. He's dressed in dress shoes, ladies and gentlemen, and is still in his overcoat. And there's like 40 troops hanging out at the top. Anyway, this is the latest victory for Kim Jong-un. Last week, state media actually reported that he had, in fact, learned how to drive by the age of 3. Unbelievable. Just an amazing guy. And I'll tell you what, that haircut is just doesn't ever cease to amaze me. Does not ever cease to amaze me. Okay, let's move into some national news right now. As promised, we do have some exclusive stuff regarding these Walmart closures. But I want to talk first about, well, I'm going to talk about these Walmart closures. But Tampa Bay, ABC Action News, this guy Adam Wessler did an awesome job breaking some of this stuff down. And this actually broke on Friday after the show, and I didn't get really an opportunity to talk to you guys about it. But I want to give you the mainstream swing, and then again, I'm going to go to one of our absolutely outstanding listeners and, you know, he's a private investigative journalist, I guess I could say at this point, did some amazing stuff regarding this Walmart thing. So we'll talk about it from the mainstream side, and then I'll tell you what they're not telling you that one of our outstanding listeners was able to dig up over the weekend. So this story, this Action News guy, Adam Wasser, he's coming out of Brandon, Florida, which is, again, one of the places where these Walmarts were closed down. So, again, Walmarts closed across the country last Monday. And if you guys weren't paying attention to this, it was supposedly because plumbing issues, right? Plumbing issues. And I'm not sure I believe that. And I don't think after reading all this that you guys would believe that either. So a Hillsborough County commissioner who has worked closely with the company for years says he now also has plenty of questions. So in Midland, Texas, which up until Monday was home to one of the 10 busiest Walmart stores in the country, city building official Steve Thorpe told Adam Wessler that his plumbing inspector was sent away when he visited the closed store and offered to help secure permits. So while the company claimed to have an average of 100 to 150 plumbing issues a year in recent years, a longtime employee of a tax service located in the store told the I-team that she never saw a plumber or an out-of-order restroom in the 3 years that she worked inside the store. She said she was forced to pack up all of her computers and paper files in her kiosk in a matter of hours on Monday. This was Monday last week, guys, the 14th, right? The 14th of April, which was obviously one of the busiest days of the year for her company. And at the Brandon Walmart Monday night, a five-hour unadvertised going-out-of-business sale was held after employees were informed that their store would be closed for at least 6 months for plumbing and other renovations. The store pays more than $243,000 a year in Hillsborough County ad valorem taxes and collects many, many times that amount in sales taxes, okay? The store appeared also to have been fully stocked with perishables when the sudden closure was announced. Fresh cut flowers were also on hand at the Tulsa, Oklahoma store. The I-team has also learned that no plumbing permits have been pulled in any of the five cities where the stores were suddenly closed for at least 6 months. Permits in Midland show 70 plumbing fixtures were just replaced in an 8-week period 3 years ago, and that store never closed during that renovation. Hillsborough County Commissioner said the Walmart officials didn't even mention plumbing issues when they reached out to him, informing him of the closure, which affected more than 400 workers. He says that right now he's just basically got to take the city or the store at their word and that they are closing to improve the store. I do not believe that that's what's going on here. I got to say, honestly, too, there's a great YouTube channel, a guy named Dabu7, and we kind of, you know, we poke fun of him on the Woo Crew every once in a while because he does jump the shark. He will jump the shark every once in a while, ladies and gentlemen. But he did a video over the weekend. I have got it at redpillreports.com. If you go to the show section today, right at the very bottom, the featured video is this one from Dabu7 where someone, the pharmacies at apparently most of these five closed stores are going to stay open for a couple of weeks because there are still people there who need to get into their, get in and get their pharmaceuticals. And so somebody snuck in with a camera and was, filming, you know, under the guise of going in to pick up a prescription. And I'll tell you, these are, the video that she pulled out of there. They have already arranged all the shelving. You can't see anything that's going on in the store. They've got black tape on all the windows so you can't see inside. Some of the other stores are already being armed by armed guards at all of the entrances. Something is weird going on here, guys. Absolutely weird. I want to break this down, but I don't have enough time before the break to get into all of the information that Dave brought in. So I want to, again, recommend you guys go to redpillreports.com and go to the bottom of the show section page today, and you will see that featured video from Dabu 7. And I'll tell you what, there's some strange stuff going on here right now, and Dave did a great job breaking this thing down, one of our great listeners from Florida. I'm trying to catch up here a little bit in the chat room. For some reason, my chat room feed is a little bit slow today. And I appreciate all of you guys being in there. Kev Baker in the chat room right now this morning. Happy to have you along for the ride, sir. Appreciate you guys all being in there today. I'm going to touch on this other story, too, while we're on the subject of the weird Walmart closures. And before I come back from the break and break it down from a different perspective, this other story kind of hit the wire over the weekend. I thought maybe, I don't know, this could be related. Seems really strange. It's coming out of Oklahoma City. Governor Mary Fallon is expected now to vacate the governor's mansion, listen to this, for 6 months, starting at the end of May, for repairs. I mean, seriously, right? When does this happen? When does a governor happen to leave the state mansion for 6 months in Oklahoma while all this other stuff is going on? So the State Capital Preservation Commission received an update on the need for the repairs on Thursday. That's unbelievable. Capital architect Dwayne Mass says the projects involve only operations and maintenance. But again, this is a very strange situation. You've got the governor of Oklahoma now getting ready to vacate her mansion for 6 months. There are a lot of rumors out there talking about whether or not there potentially could be tunnels underneath some of these Walmarts. And, you know, it does seem to be a little far-fetched at face value, but now you're starting to talk about governors vacating their own mansions at the same time. Who would, I don't know. I mean, is there something to that? I just don't know. I would think if there really were underground high-speed maglev tunnels, that somebody would have taken an iPhone down there at this point and gotten at least one video out. We would have seen one video at this point. So I'm still not on the tunnel side of the fence, but I am on the something's going on with these Walmarts, and it's either Jade Helm or it has to do with the influx of potential illegal migrants coming here over the next few months. But again, when we come back, I've got this breakdown from a fantastic listener that sent this in over the weekend. You guys will not want to miss this exclusive stuff here at Red Pill Reports. Keep it right here, guys. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, if you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and
feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Enemy Within Radio with Tom Barnes and Tommy Woodgate. Saturdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. I really appreciate all of you guys hanging out in the chat room this morning, and there are a ton of people listening on the live streams right now. I cannot thank you guys enough. It is absolutely astounding to me that you guys are willing to share your time with me, especially on a Monday morning. But without further ado, I got to break down this Walmart situation. Again, one of our outstanding listeners out there, with the best listeners in the world here at Red Pill, I swear to you guys we do. He spent his weekend breaking this Walmart thing down, and he came up with some pretty amazing, I'm not going to call them coincidences, but we'll say coincidences with a big question mark behind them. So again, this is some fairly interesting facts that you guys might not know about these Walmart closures. Let's first talk about Tulsa, Oklahoma. Tulsa is home to a respectable airport for a town its size. It is not the largest airport in the nation, but its airline maintenance facility is. In fact, it's thought to be the largest airline maintenance facility in the world. It's owned by American Airlines, and this maintenance facility services the worldwide fleet of American Airlines, and the German-based Lufthansa Technic Component Services also provide maintenance for other airlines in the area, including its own. Sprint Aerospace and other manufacturers also have facilities on the property as well, producing aircraft sub-assemblies for Boeing, Gulfstream, and others. In yet another of the many buildings on this 4,000-acre site, the IC Bus Corps assembles school buses. The Tulsa International Airport is designated for both civil and military use. It is home to one of the largest Air National Guard operations in the United States, not to mention the U.S. Air Force support it provides. Approximately 13% of the daily landings and takeoffs involve military aircraft. Within a stone's throw of this airport lies the Tulsa port of Catoosa, one of the largest inland river ports in the nation, connecting Tulsa with the Gulf of Mexico via the Arkansas and Mississippi rivers. There is also an ICE detention center nearby. Where is the closest Walmart, you might ask? It's at the corner of Admiral and Memorial Boulevard, just a few blocks away. And this is a store that has been closed for plumbing repairs. Tampa, Florida. More accurately, the suburb known as Brandon, Florida, is home to the main entrance of MacDill Air Force Base, one of the largest Air Force bases in the nation. It is no less than home to both U.S. Central Command and U.S. Special Operations Command, known as CENTCOM and SOCOM, respectively. The closest Walmart, you might ask, well, it's at 1208 East Brandon Boulevard, but you can't go there because that store has been closed for plumbing repairs. Livingston, Texas. What do you know? The small town of Livingston, Texas is a pretty interesting place. Unquestionably, a prison town. Livingston is home to an ICE detention center known as the Polk County Secure Adult Detention Center. It's operated by a for-profit contractor called Community Education Centers Incorporated. This education/detention center has a capacity of approximately 1,000 inmates and is operated for the benefit of the Polk County Sheriff's Office along with the Houston Fields Office of ICE. Next door sits the Allen B. Polunsky Unit, operated by the Texas Department of Correctional Justice. I'm sorry, the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, with over a 500,000 square feet comprised of 23 buildings. This high security prison has a capacity of nearly 3,000 inmates. The prison has a reputation for extremely violent and troublesome men, and most notably, it now houses Texas's death row. Across the road, the Livingston Municipal Airport boasts a modest 3,700-foot runway, but just 30 miles to the southwest, the Lone Star Executive Airport, operated by Montgomery County, provides a runway twice that length. The airport sees an average of 162 landings and takeoffs per day of both civilian and military aircraft. Yes, jets, props, and helicopters. An AirNav.com website, a database of information for pilots, warns that extensive military helicopter activity occurs at that airport. And the Walmart store being closed in tiny Livingston, Texas, is the only one in town. It is also a supercenter, and it is located at 1612 West Church Street. You also cannot go there because it is currently closed for plumbing repairs. Midland, Texas. Aside from its notoriety as the former home of the Bush family, this oil-rich town is also home to another ICE detention center serving El Paso and the Texas field office there. Known as the Midland County Central Detention Center, it is operated in collaboration with the Midland County Sheriff's Department. After a 30-minute drive to the east, you will find the town of Big Spring, and aside from it being listed as a staging area for Jade Helm, it is also home to not one, but two federal prisons, along with a very large regional veterans hospital. Aside from the numerous prisons and detention centers in and around Midland, another prominent feature is Midland International Air and Spaceport, serving the Midland-Odessa Metropolitan Statistical Area. It was the first civilian airport in the United States to be approved for the launch and support of private space missions, courtesy of the Exor Aerospace Incorporated. Considering the modest population of the MSA, the size of this airport seems odd pretty much by any standard. It's very big, and it can handle the landings and takeoffs of virtually any jet aircraft, military or civilian. The closest Walmart to both the prison-slash-detention centers of Big Spring to the east and the state-of-the-art air-slash-space port just west of Midland is the store at 200 West Interstate 20. It is also closed for plumbing repairs. Pico Rivera, California. This is a Los Angeles suburb, also has an interesting history. Once regarded as a hub of Southern California's aerospace production, it was home to a 160-acre manufacturing facility for Northrop Grumman, employing some 13,000 workers. The site was most noteworthy for its black box development of the B-2, which is the stealth bomber, and other classified projects. Its close proximity to the port of Long Beach served the location well and is easily accessible through multiple transportation modalities. But in 2001, the entire 160-acre complex was razed, reportedly because of an air quality issue with the state of California, and the land was then developed into a massive retail center. And the closest Walmart, well, it lies directly over the Northrop Grumman site, but it is closed, its windows are blacked out, and its ingress and regress are currently being guarded by law enforcement because of plumbing issues, right? So these five Walmart locations, Pico Rivera, California, Midland and Livingston, Texas, Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Brandon, Florida, appear outwardly to be rather obscure places, but they apparently have been strategically chosen. Among the common threads that run between them is the fact that all of them are located in close proximity to major international transportation hubs, whether by water or rail or by air. They may be obscure locations on the surface, but when you look closely, you'll discover that they are actually, in fact, well connected. Another thread can be seen in the ICE detention centers, which are close to them, along with the federal and state prisons, which operate in these communities or lie within a short distance by interstate highway. Finally, and most disturbing, is the fact that at least four of these five locations have a connection to military installations and or suitable access to military air traffic. Each store chosen for closure is the closest one to that installation. So again, the question on the table is, do we really believe that these closures are the result of plumbing issues? And again, I think that that's pretty specific that that's not at all what's going on in these specific cases. So again, Fantastic, fantastic research done by Dave down in Texas. Absolutely appreciate you sending that stuff to me over the weekend, Dave. And I'll tell you what, anybody else out there that wants to get research to us, we've got a snail mail address. You can find it at the contact tab at redpillreports.com. You can always email us, jd@redpillreports.com. Works great for me. But this is what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. It's not about, you know, me sitting here and telling you what we think is going on. It's about all of us doing the work together and figuring out exactly what's going on in our communities. And I just cannot speak highly enough about this investigation that Dave put together here. And to me, that really sinks it. This seems a lot more plausible to me than the idea that there might be tunnels or something like that. And that's not to say that there aren't tunnels underneath those Walmarts. It's just to say it makes a lot more sense to me as a staging area for Jade Helm. We know that Walmart is essentially the distribution arm for the Department of Homeland Security. You know, when Katrina happened in New Orleans, it was actually Walmart trucks that were bringing the water and all of the supplies down to the Superdome. So again, Walmart is very, very, very well connected with the military, and I don't know. Perhaps they're getting ready to build, you know, auxiliary distribution centers, perhaps. You know, maybe they're potentially thinking that some sort of disaster is going on. But again, if you go and look at that video that somebody sent to Dabu7, which is posted again at redpillreports.com at the bottom of the show's page today, you will get an inside view of what's actually happening inside of those Walmarts. And I'll make the plea too, if you're a listener out there and you're in one of the areas where these closures are going on, see if you can get into the pharmacy area and try and snap some pictures. I'll tell you this, the way they have arranged the shelvings in the video that's on Red Pill Reports, means that you can't see anything past the pharmacy. They've got all the shelving is stacked up and moved to the door to make like a corridor again, or like a cattle chute, I guess would be a more accurate description. So if you're going to go, take a stick and some duct tape or something so you can put your phone on a stick or one of them selfie sticks. Hey, we found a good use for a selfie stick finally. Put it on one of those things and try and get it up over the top of the shelving unit so you can see what's actually going on behind there. The lady who sent that video to Dabu7 reported that the store was completely silent, that there was absolutely nothing going on in terms of construction, things like that. And again, none of those stores have pulled permits yet to actually do any construction. It's just super bizarre. And the fact that they would have a 5-hour going out of business sale to try and liquidate things right after just telling their employees that, you know, so long, thanks a lot, see you later. Maybe. Those are weird. This is all weird, guys. This is not typical for-profit corporation operation as far as I'm concerned. So again, I don't know what's going on. I do appreciate Dave sending me all that stuff this weekend because I think that he probably hit that thing on the head. And you know what really starting to bother me too is that, you know, what are we going to do about this if it is the case? There's not going to be an indication from the government that says, okay, things are bad. We got to start, you know, re-educating people in FEMA camps. It's not going to go down like that. There's not going to be an indication on the website or the news or whatever. It's just going to happen. It's just going to be one of those things that happens. So if you're not paying attention and being prepared right now, man, it's going to take you completely by surprise. And I don't want anybody out there to be taken by surprise if this stuff does end up going sideways. You also have to consider, too, any of the stuff that they're doing right now is part of this whole contingency of government plan. And, you know, the government contingency plan is not a continuity of your well-being plan. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the continuity of government. And you have to remember, you know, when you look around at all of these institutions that we're starting to see kind of crumble, the entertainment institution, the financial institution, the political institution, all of these institutions only exist for their own self edification or their own self-perpetuance. You know, they're not here to protect you. So you need to protect yourself. And if the government is showing us signs that something is going to happen, signs like taking over Walmart, that's pretty important. So that's why we want to bring that stuff to you guys, not to scare anybody, but it's just to say, listen, this is something that's going on and this is bizarre. These Walmart closures are bizarre. They line up with pretty key dates and key locations regarding this Jade Helm thing. So I don't know. Keep your head on a swivel out there. If you guys find out anything at all above and beyond what we talked about today, please, please get on the horn. Call us here, Red Pill Reports. Call us at the radio show. We'll put you on the air. Or if you want to send me something, send it to jd@redpillreports.com. Or you can check out the snail mail address in the contact tab. Okay, that's pretty much everything I've got on Walmart right now. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good right now. Let's talk about something that does look good. Texas. Texas looks good. They're poised right now to become the largest state in the United States to allow citizens to openly carry handguns. This is a change that has been long sought by gun rights activists there in Texas. So the Texas House of Representatives on Friday voted 96-35 to allow residents with concealed handgun licenses to openly carry their guns in public in holsters. And a similar open carry measure passed the Texas Senate last month, and the two open carry bills must now be squared before being sent to the Republican governor, Greg Abbott, who has also indicated his support for the idea. So Texas right now is one of six states, including California, New York, and Florida, that currently bars citizens from openly carrying handguns, which is kind of surprising to me. The reason it is surprising is because Texas does actually allow their citizens to open carry long guns in public. So you could take a rifle or something like that, but not a pistol. So anyway, historic progress being made in Texas. I will let you know when the governor actually signs that bill, but he does look like that is what is going to happen there. So that is good. I don't know. We'll have to debate whether or not this is good or bad news, guys, but Oklahoma right now has become the first U.S. state to legalize the gassing to death of death row inmates if lethal injection drugs are not available. So following that spree of horrific accidents involving botched lethal injection executions across the United States, Oklahoma has decided to go ahead and press forward with a contingency measure for executing their inmates. And while the Supreme Court decides whether the new drug mix is constitutional, Oklahoma Governor Mary Fallon on Friday approved the use of nitrogen in executions as an alternative option to the so-called painless death. And this new cost-effective procedure involves only putting a mask on the inmate and using a tank of nitrogen. So the inmate inhales the nitrogen without any oxygen, and then he or she is supposed to lose consciousness within seconds while his or her body dies from asphyxiation. I just am not really a fan of state-sponsored murder. I understand that there are people out there who are very, very bad and do things because they don't have morals. You know, one of the deals with psychopaths, true psychopaths, don't actually have the capacity for empathy. But that's where your problem comes in, is that you're using the death penalty as a deterrent, and you're trying to deter people who cannot be deterred because they're not capable emotionally of being deterred. So we end up just basically everybody has blood on their hands because we're killing people who, ostensibly couldn't really be fixed in the first place. I don't know. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't think that gassing people to death seems like a very good, good move for humanity. I don't know. What do you guys think out there? Oh man. And while we're on that subject, here's a great example of why I don't like the death penalty. The FBI this week have finally now come out and admitted in ink and on paper that they have been, well, okay. How do I want to say this? I want to say this the right way. The Justice Department and the FBI have now formally acknowledged that nearly every examiner in an elite FBI forensic unit gave flawed testimony in almost every trial in which they offered evidence against criminal defendants over more than the last 20 years. I mean, where do you even go from there? Where do you even go from there? So of the 28 examiners with the FBI laboratory's microscopic hair comparison unit, 26 of the 28 examiners overstated forensic matches in ways that favored prosecutors in more than 95% of the 268 trials so far reviewed by the National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers and also the Innocence Project. So again, these cases include 32 defendants who were sentenced to death, and of those, 14 have already been executed or died in prison. So this admission really is a watershed moment for one of the country's largest, intelligence organizations or law enforcement agencies. And this forensic scandal, this is absolutely unbelievable to me. It obviously highlights the failure of the nation's courts for decades to keep bogus science information from juries. And the question now is how state authorities and the courts are going to respond to these findings that confirm, again, long suspected problems with subjective pattern-based forensic techniques like hair and bite mark comparisons. And they've contributed to wrongful convictions in more than one quarter of the 329 DNA exonerated cases from 1989. Just unbelievable to me. So to say this is appalling or chilling is like a total understatement in here. We're talking about potentially innocent defendants who have been wrongly imprisoned, if not executed, but you've also got prosecutors who've been relying on fabricated and false evidence provided to them by the FBI, just trying to do their jobs. They're trying to faithfully enforce the law and not able to do that. Could you imagine how you would feel if you were a prosecuting attorney that pushed for someone to get the death penalty and then to have it turn out now that just about everybody working for the FBI was lying about their forensic analysis of the hair matches for like the last two decades? That's crazy to me. It's just crazy to me. So again, you know, this is another reason that I'm not behind the death penalty, because we don't even have a way to keep the legal system together here, guys. We can't count on the people, the law enforcement agencies, to actually provide decent information to prosecutors. Then you get into the whole prison industrial complex mode, where most of these prisons that are being filled these days are for-profit prisons. And then you've got the lobby groups who are making things illegal just so they can keep people in the prison, because that's how they make their money. And it's a disgusting system, ladies and gentlemen. It's a disgusting system. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. Pardon me. Earlier this month, officials with the Bureau of Land Management, we talked about this, sent a letter ordering local miners working at the Sugar Pine mining claim in the Gallus Mining District near Merlin, Oregon, to vacate the property that locals have been mining for the last 139 years. And the owners claim subsequently that they have contacted the Oath Keepers of Josephine County. And the Oath Keepers have responded. They have now called for militia members from around the country to gather at the mining claim in order to ensure that the Bureau of Land Management respects the miners' Fifth Amendment's rights to due process. And armed Oath Keepers began to gather at the site on Tuesday last week, SWAT vehicles were also seen being staged nearby. And this dispute centers around the Sugar Pine mining claim itself, which Congress set aside for local miners in 1876, allowing them to establish their own rules and regulations. The Bureau of Land Management says that the claim does not allow miners to sidestep its regulatory authority, as the claim has changed hands in the past, but locals say that the claim's community regulatory system has been grandfathered in, and that absent intervention through a specific process by the Department of the Interior, BLM lacks the authority to regulate the mines. Specifically, under the 1955 Surface Resources Act, claims of this age have excluded surface rights unless the Department of Interior utilized a mechanism outlined in the Act to sever those surface rights, and demands to BLM to produce evidence that their surface authority, in accordance to the 1955 Act, have thus far garnished only because we say so type answers and numerous stonewalling attacks. So the stop orders came after several months of back and forth maneuvering from both sides and are clearly retaliatory in nature. The stakes are exceptionally high right now. This is a much bigger deal than the Bundy Ranch situation, because the Gallus Mining District has already yielded over 10 million ounces of gold, and a lot of experts say that there are 90 million more ounces yet available to be extracted. An unconfirmed report claims that local BLM officials have threatened to burn buildings down if they are not removed by the 25th of April. So all of this is basically going to come to a head by Friday, and locals fear that the Bureau of Land Management will attempt to seize the property before the owners of the mines have their opportunity to defend themselves in court. And Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniel has been attempting to mediate the dispute between the two parties and said he would step in if the tensions escalated. I do not know specifically if Josephine County Sheriff Dave Daniel is actually an Oath Keeper or not. That would be a really interesting phone call to make and find out about. But again, Oath Keepers representatives are there. They say they're there just to make sure that the miners receive their Fifth Amendment rights, which is obviously due process. And this is obviously going to take several weeks, if not months. And the Oath Keepers that are on site say they are prepared to stay for the long haul. So our hats go off to Stuart Rhodes and his oath keeping group there. This is a crazy story coming out of Washington too, and it happened in Linwood, Washington, which is north of Seattle, and I used to live there, and this is just a weird story. I just wanted to bring this up because you just never know what you're going to be driving into, ladies and gentlemen. And this is one of those situations. A semi-truck carrying millions of honeybees overturned on Interstate 5 north of Seattle early Friday, scattering hives and sending white-suited beekeepers scrambling to save as many of the insects as they could. The truck had just merged onto the freeway from the I-405 about 3:30 in the morning when it tipped on its side, dumping its load of 448 hives, or about 13.7 million bees. And the Washington State Patrol trooper Travis Shearer said that a driver, who is a 36-year-old man from Ohio, Idaho, he was not hurt in the incident. And the company that owned the insects, Belleville Honey and Beekeeping Supply of Burlington, sent beekeepers to recover as many as possible, and bees covered their protective suits as they worked. Officials later said again about 10 million bees perished in the accident. And the bees became more active as the sun rose and the weather warmed, and firefighters had to spray a layer of foam on some of the boxes trying to calm the bees down. And many of the hives were still along the highway more than 7 hours after the incident when a front-end loader began scooping them up and dumping them into a truck. The majority of the hives, unfortunately, had been crushed, and the bees were then transported from Sunnyside in central Washington to a blueberry farm in Linden, a city north of Canadian border and about 100 miles north of Seattle. And, the scene was finally cleared, and all lanes reopened just about 12:30 in the afternoon. Wow, could you imagine Bee-mageddon or a Bee-nado driving into that? 10 million bees unleashed. Unbelievable. Wow, I guess I went on a little bit too long about the Walmart thing, so we'll cover some financial stuff here real quick, and we're just about ready to go join Dr. Bill Deagle for our discussion about Fukushima today. So let me get into some, just give you the guys the numbers here. The Dow is currently up, which is surprising because the futures were way down all over the weekend, but currently up about 239 points above 18,000 at 18,066. The S&P is also currently up about 20 points at 2,096. The dollar index is rising just a touch today, 97 and 98. The euro sliding also just a touch, down to 107.61. Silver down about 2% today, $15.15.89. So below 16 on silver, that's definitely a buy in my book. Gold also following suit, down about $8 today at $1,194. Let's see if we've got a live Baltic Dry. I do not. Maybe Truth can get me the Baltic Dry. I apologize, too. My chat feed is not keeping up to speed right now, so I'm not sure if I'll be able to get that Baltic Dry for you guys. Crude oil is up this morning, $57.81 big cents. And let's check out your Bitcoin, see where that is at. $222.20 will get you a bright, shiny Bitcoin. Wow. We are just about out of time. I totally rambled, but I'm really glad we were able to bring you that information about the Walmart, because I think that kind of brings things into perspective. The location of those stores, I think, is going to be the linchpin in figuring out exactly what's going on there. Lots more news I couldn't cover. We've got some health stuff and some science stuff. Truth be told, coming through with the BDI right now, 598, up by 1 point. Truth is yelling at me to fix my feed. Somebody send investing.com an email. Tell them to get their BDI feed fixed so I don't have to snoop all over the place. Anyway, we're going to this break. When we come back, Dr. Bill Deagle will be here. We're going to be talking in depth about Fukushima and what we can do to stay healthy, because it's pretty much a disaster right now. So we'll be back in 3 minutes, guys. Keep it right here.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. it is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Judith Baker was once a promising science student who dreamed of finding a cure for cancer. This exposé is an account of how she strayed from a path of mainstream scholarship to a life of espionage in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. In her narrative, she offers extensive documentation on how she came to be a cancer expert and what led to her involvement in the development of a biological weapon that Oswald was to smuggle into Cuba to eliminate Fidel Castro. Details on what she knew of Kennedy's impending assassination and her belief that Oswald was a deep cover intelligence agent who was framed for an assassination he was actually trying to prevent are also revealed. Me and Lee by Judith Baker. Special JFK 50th Anniversary Signed Limited Edition. $30 including shipping. Limited number of these available. Order your copy today at federaljack.com/store.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. I'm hoping that we're coming across right now. It does show my mic is muted, but hopefully we got everything working out. So if somebody's in the chat room can let me know that you guys hear me. That was fantastic. Hope you guys are doing great today. Give me a heads up in the chat if you guys can hear me out there. Please, anybody, anyway. Okay, well, welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Very excited to be welcoming back to the program today the one and only Dr. Bill Deagle. So for those of you guys who don't know Dr. Deagle, he is a pro-life physician. He is also a board-certified family medicine specialist. He is a board-eligible occupational and environmental medicine, internal medicine, medical legal, anti-aging medicine, and environmental toxicologist. He has been in private practice for more than 25 years. He's also worked as a contract physician with companies working with the U.S. government on NORAD, U.S. Space Command, advanced Cray supercomputers, large array, and EMP-proof microchips, and many, many other projects such as exit examiner for the Special Operations Chemical Munitions Team of the U.S. military for the Oklahoma City federal building bombing back in 1995, Operation Top Off, and also Operation Dark Winter with FEMA and the FBI and state and federal hazardous materials and biowarfare games in 1997. I would highly recommend you guys check out his website, which is NutraMedical.com. His other website is also IronAndClay.com, both fantastic places for you guys to go and learn more about the health threats that are going on around us and how to deal with all of them. I have to say, first and foremost, Dr. Deagle, thank you very much for joining us on the program today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, JD. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to your audience and to inform them. And the most important thing I do on my show, which is Genesis Network from 12 to 3 Pacific, 2 to 5 Central, 3 to 6 Eastern, Monday to Friday. And I'm usually on the second hour of rents on Thursday evenings. The most important thing I ask people to do is ask better questions.
Mm-hmm.
The key issue is that people don't own the truth because they won't ask the questions. And if they believe everything I say, even if it seems qualified, then I consider them an idiot. What I do on my show, which is quite different than any other broadcaster, I love people and I will die for them and I will do it, but I will die for the truth as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone says something stupid or dangerous or harmful to people on my show, I just say, I'm a pro-life messianic Christian, cosmic Christian, I guess would be the best term, but I'm a sheepdog for God. So I have a bark and a bite. And if someone does something that's harmful or stupid or needs to be intellectually vivisected, or dissected intellectually alive, I call it mixed mental martial arts on my show.
Oh, I like it.
I will do it immediately. And the thing is, I tell people, The most important thing, if you see people coming back on the show regularly, it's because they're really good, they ask good questions, and they really have a compassion for the U.S. Constitution, the constitutional rights, and the fact that human beings are made in the image of the Most High God, and we need true hard science, and I believe in solutions. There is no such thing as a topic that I will not present either a solution or a framework of solutions for any topic on any issue in the world.
Well, and for that, we thank you, man. It's kind of a difficult, it's a difficult thing these days to be somebody who's so well educated, and then you kind of get into this position where people don't want to listen to what it is that you have to say, and I can imagine that's really frustrating. And I'll do my best, Dr. Deagle, to ask you the right questions today so we can get some of this information
out. Yeah, I want to clear that, clear the air. If people Google my name, they're going to get several million hits. Some of it's quite nasty garbage.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter because our listeners are open-minded and we're here to listen
I want to clear that. I'm going to clear this first so people will understand who I am.
Okay.
Firstly, I got accepted to MIT in nuclear physics from grade 11 with a special scholarship because of my aptitudes. I turned it down and went into honors biochemistry and finished my PhD research project in marine molecular biology in 5 months by sleeping on the lab floor at 21. I didn't finish the thesis because my grandfather was dying of diabetes because he was a candy maker before he had a series of jewelry stores. Very wealthy. He had a suite beside Frank Sinatra at the Copacabana every winter before the Revolution. So he was very wealthy. And when I went into medicine, my professor, Robert Brown, said, you're going to be dealing with a lot of knuckleheads and people that are really quite nasty. And I realized that doctors are not good scientists. If you're an MD or DO, if you're a physician, you're 11 times more likely to be a serial killer. That's an actual medical legal fact.
Is that true, really?
Yes, it is.
Now, wow.
Let me explain. I started doing research in rheumatology back in the 1970s working with Dr. John Woodbury, head of the American and Canadian Arthritis Association, and I made some important discoveries while I was in medical school reviewing 26,000 cases where I built a database analysis nonlinear software, analyzed the cases, worked in the Synovi analysis lab when I was in medical school, and afterward he tried to even blackmail me to become his resident, even sending his daughter after me. So I have quite a storied career. So what happened is I started doing research on pain. In the early 80s, I was one of the team doctors for the Calgary Flame hockey team. And I also, I worked with a computer company. We were working on software for medical offices and I was interested in pain research. So he bought me a machine from Holland on pulse magnetic field therapy. And I started playing around with it and doing research because of a background in quantum nuclear physics. I actually worked out what's called a theory, which I explained to a panel of biophysicists in 1982 after I got a series of U.S. and Canadian patents and built 12 of these Dynatans morphogenic field machines, which I used on the Calgary Flames hockey players and my patients to turn off pain and stimulate tissue regeneration.
Wow.
I never published it because I knew that it would be turned into a weapon, what my research findings were. And so I was doing pain research and I operated also as one of the ACOM. I was a member of the American College for Occupational Environmental Medicine. I was one of the professors at the university precepting medical students and residents, but I was also a senior member of ACOM. For in 1997, I was the director of OCMED for Health Sales for the city of Denver. Not just a junior guy, I was the guy that was the director. And you always get in compromising positions. The director nationally told me that if I don't close 32 cases because they have upset employers, not employees, employers, that they're going to pull business. So he told me they have $500,000 check for me if I'll simply close their cases. I said, well, four of them, if I close, they'll die. He said, is that a problem?
Wow.
Now, you have to understand this background because in 1999, I was certified by the ACOM and took training also in medical legal law. So I'm like half a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an expert witness in every specialty. I had patients flying from all over the U.S. and Canada flying in to do IMEs with me in Denver. And I was sometimes 2 and 3 days in the morning in court, federal, state court, and military court, dealing with cases of injury, military injury, and other things. And they would do everything they could to try to stop me from getting to court, including trying to send me packets of money, give me death threats, do all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
Now, I had one of my IMEs, I got called by a company in Boulder, and they said, we're having a hard time getting an IME doctor, because there are only four doctors that were like me, I was in what's called an IRB research panel in pain research, and I was working with Dr. Centeno and Thacker, which are some of the top pain doctors in the world. And in 1999, I helped develop with Dr. Jim Hedgecock the first and only technology on the planet that can actually objectively map pain out and your A delta and C fibers.
Whoa.
I added electromyography, which I'd done research back in 80 to 87 with Dr. Stu Donaldson at the University of Calgary. So when I added the EMG, it made it the first objective technology to map pain. So the Axon 2 scanner developed by Dr. Hedgecock, who did his PhD at UC Irvine, I improved it and that U.S. Federally certified technology to do it. Now, I mapped a gentleman in my IME who was a 42-year-old Hispanic gentleman who ended up getting paralyzed after a thing called a spinoplasty. And after he got paralyzed by the surgeon, they wanted me to review the case and all the records. Now, the most powerful thing you could use in medical legal is a thing called a quotation mark. You quote the surgical, the operative record, and the x-rays and MRI scans and the interoperative or postoperative record. It's very dangerous to the other side if they don't really understand. And I have a pretty close to photographic memory. So if I have a 12-inch thick chart and have read it all, and don't just spend an hour and a half with an IME, but 7 or 8 hours with the patient in my office, including an Axon scan, I found out this gentleman, they tried to hide the records that they actually put screws through his nerve roots.
Through his what? I'm sorry?
Through his spinal nerve roots. They put screws, they tried to hide the records. My office manager finally managed to track him down. So Dr. Michael Jansen, and that's his name, by the way, for the record, surgeon in north of Denver at the special spinoplasty research facility that had a, they did a 14 and a half hour procedure on this gentleman and they paralyzed him. So when he got my IME report, he said, I know the president of the board of medical examiners, Dr. Ned Kalonge, that's his Kalonge, C-A-L-O-N-G-E, if you know how to spell it, and Susan Miller, who's the board secretary, and I called her up and I said, this man is threatening me. He said he's going to get my license pulled. And he's going to get me charged with malpractice. Would get malpractice just for my IME. Now, I didn't treat the patient. All I did was see them for 7.5 hours, examine them, and review the records. So I called up the board of examiners, and they said, well, we don't have to respond because he hasn't filed that. I said, are you kidding? I said, I want you to respond to discipline this guy for threatening me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2004, one of my pain patients who had previously been discharged, because I was a board-certified toxicologist as well, an SAP, which means if you come in and get a drug test, I'm an expert in toxicology and drug testing.
Okay.
So I had one of my pain patients come in, and he was positive for a med, so I discharged him to practice. That's our policy, standard policy. You come in with benzoylagonine showing you have cocaine, or you show a positive test for this and that. And as I say, when a patient would come in, you know, I'm the what we call toxicology god. I mean, you can't lie to the molecules.
Right? Okay, right.
So anyway, this young man, came back to the practice for 4 months, but I said, he was previously a criminal because he was involved with jacking cars, and he previously tried to kill himself 6 times with the previous orthopedic neurosurgeons to fix his leg because he pinned it between 2 cars while he was jacking them. And, what happened is this young gentleman had broke up with his girlfriend and subsequently killed himself, and the board said, well, we think we got Deagle now. Because his patient killed himself. Now, of course, he didn't get the meds from me because I was watching him closely.
Right.
And I didn't have a med cabinet or do anything. So the DEA scoured through my office and found absolutely nothing except Copic Insurance said, your exit signs aren't bright enough. That's the only thing they could say. So the board pulled my license for 3 weeks. And two of my patients, because I had very serious terminal patients, I was only one of 3 or 4 doctors in the state that would take care of these kind of terminal cancer or what I call horrifying pain syndrome patients, because I was actually mapping nerves out. And on Fridays, I go up to the Anschutz Pain Center in the University of Colorado and training to be an interventional pain specialist. So I'd be in the operating room assisting putting in spinal pumps and stimulators. So this is pretty specialized stuff.
Okay.
Now, I was ready to go off the next year, challenge the boards, and also be board certified as an interventional pain specialist at Cedars-Sinai in California. Because obviously, I was doing pain research, I was working with the top pain doctors in the world, and I was on a national federal IRB panel for pain research. And I got these threats, and when this kid killed himself and the board pulled my license, I walked in, threw the tox reports on the desk, and the board had to give my license back within a half an hour. But two of my patients in the meantime, even though I was having weekly meetings, they killed themselves because they didn't have a doctor who would take care of them. One of them was discharged to the university hospital. And they wouldn't adequately treat his pain. I said, he needs spinal surgery. I told him exactly what surgery procedure. And the other patient had a very serious headache pain syndrome, and he decided to go for a walk with his dog and his brother-in-law and take a Magnum 57 and blow his head off.
Wow.
The other guy killed himself on a freeway. And this is because of this. When they gave me my license back, they just wanted to see a record of my drug things. And I'm very tough. I mean, they pay me and they have an SAP, a substance abuse professional. But they were after me because I was closing down industries in Colorado. And I was a senior guy. I wasn't just a minor guy. I was actually being nominated by the American College of Occupational Environmental Medicine to become not only fully board certified, but to become the national board. Okay?
Okay.
Occupational Environmental Medicine. So I walk in the office in June of 2004, and I want to get this clearance. They say, let's stop this temporary stipulation. Oh, no, we want you to see a psychiatrist, go into Vanderbilt for 3 months on my own expense, and be under surveillance. So I said, I'm closing my practice. This is enough. They're just harassing me. So I closed in July of 2004. And 2007, August, without me being at the meeting, they decided to pull my license finally.
Hmm.
Now, you have to understand what they did. They're after me, illegal, and they're going to, by the way, be in the process of being sued because Nine News was in communication with them, and they splattered that I killed a patient. Now, I didn't kill any patient. He killed himself with meds he got from a university hospital, and I had the tox report to prove it because I'm a toxicologist as well.
Right.
Forensic toxicologist. That's one of my certifications, okay? So when people Google my name, they're going to see all kinds of crap. In fact, Catherine Albrecht was one of the ones in Coast to Coast placed on that show 7 years ago. She went and decided to kind of start quoting the Board of Examiners. So if people want to know who Dr. Daigle is, first off, kill the patient, period. Number two, I am probably one of the most certified professors in family internal medicine in the United States. I'm certified also with the 82nd Airborne 5 times in trauma as a trauma doctor, burn doctor, intensivist, intensive care unit. I've done every kind of surgery except open heart and brain, including plastics, orthopedics, general and vascular surgery. So when people want to start challenging Dr. Daigle, they say, chemistry or whatever, or my credentials or my ethics, they're walking on very thin ice. So they might not like my spirituality. In fact, a lot of Christians would call me probably an apostate because of what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Yeshua, Jesus, was the incarnation of God, but there's a vast universe out there. I believe that right now we are in the end times. And I believe that if we don't have a constitutional reformation in America, this is the end of not only America, but... And I'm not afraid to die. I'm a very tough character, let's put it that way.
I say that. It's probably pretty well defined at this point, brother. But
yeah, I want people to understand it. So when they go back, and so when I answer questions, I need to know that I will answer a question on any medical or other issue. I provide people with free consults. All you have to do is purchase products at NutriMedical.com. I integrate the best of medicine. That means the best of medicine. I can tell them what types of scans to do, surgery to do, what treatments are therapy, what drugs are safe, which ones aren't. Most of the vaccines are dangerous as hell and shouldn't be given to anybody. There's a few that under certain circumstances, but even the tetanus vaccine has been tainted in Africa by the World Health Organization with HCG to cause antibodies against the placenta to cause spontaneous miscarriage. I got the documents on March 17th, 97, when I spoke to the board of HLI in Zurich, Switzerland. And last month, the Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association found the same thing by high-pressure chromatography, that there was HCG in a tetanus vaccine to cause sterility, and they'd already done 3 million Kenyan women. So when Dr. Daigle talks about an issue, I'm an authority. And I don't care if it's a grandmother with grade 3, if she has an intelligent question or statement to make that can teach me something, that's fine. But if someone with 5 degrees and professorships and credentialing and university, and they say something stupid, I will rip them apart at the speed of light.
Okay, well, let's try and avoid all that today, Dr. Daigle. Obviously.
So when I talk about Fukushima Daiichi,
yeah.
I am not exaggerating when I say this is the greatest extinction level event in human history. And there's no response. In fact, when I spoke to Dr. Kai Vetter 2.5 years ago, who was the radiation expert, radiation engineering expert at UC Berkeley, they were doing testing in water and air and kelp sampling and food. And after I talked to him, he at first he said, well, you're just Dr. Daigle, blow IMD. Who cares? I mean, you're probably, as I say, a GP or generally pathetic. No, I'm not a generally pathetic. Okay. And so when I fired back with him that I was an expert in radio chemistry, nuclear science, and radio toxicology, he kind of freaked out, and he absolutely stopped doing testing. I can't get testing of debris from the World Trade Center, which I have collected and I have sitting right here on my desk, at any lab on Earth, including no matter whether it's Jobe's lab or Japan, anywhere, Germany, France, anywhere, because they Google my name and find out, oh my gosh, it's Dr. Deagle, the massive pariah that's going to raise questions. Again, I like hard science. I don't like BS.
Right.
And when I raise this about Fukushima Daiichi, people have no idea. This is many thousands of times worse than Chernobyl, which means wormwood. And that's right out of your Bible. Right now, since January, there was a 7,000% increase in radiation released from Fukushima Daiichi because all the area, they saturated the area so much with water now, it's bursting into the ocean. And they've done what's called a muon scan of muons. And, they didn't even localize where the corium is. I told them I say exactly technically what they have to do to fix the site. I wrote a book last year. I don't even have the disrespect of people who call themselves scientists or marine bacteriologists or whatever, because that's what I did my PhD research in, was marine bacteriology. I don't get even the disrespect of people saying you're an idiot. And this is the technical and specific reasons why, that Fukushima Daiichi is not only killing the North Pacific Oceans, but it's going to start killing the human population off. And it's already within 6 weeks after a intensive care unit in Pennsylvania, there was a 42% increase in fetal death rate in the intensive care nursery. If you have any illness of any kind, right now the radioisotope reconcentration of tritium, which is a DNA intercalator, it slides your codons over one base pair, or one of 200 isotopes is now bioconcentrating. Some are short-acting, like radioiodine has a half-life of 8.5 days, and so four half-lives, it's gone. But there's a constant steady stream. And the ones that are bioaccumulating have long half-lives, like cesium-137, it's in the range of 38 to 42 years. Cesium-134, shorter. And strontium-90. And what these are doing is they're concentrating and they're destroying the ability, for example, of magnesium to work in your DNA, your oxidative protective mechanisms, including glutathione peroxidase, etc.
Okay.
Now, I want people to understand, I've laid out exactly what nutraceuticals you need to be taking, and this isn't optional. If you're not taking things to protect yourself, including our Tesla-activated monoatomic iodine, that's the Edgar Cayce one he prophesied, we have the only engineer in the world from worked at NASA that makes it for me. We have other nutraceuticals that will protect you. If you're not taking these right now and you're living in the Northern Hemisphere, you are bioaccumulating. You're getting what's called a mitochondrial apocalypse. It means your mitochondria are taking a big hit. And once you get enough damaged mitochondria, they start generating more free radicals. And eventually, the crosstalk between your cells starts to do gene silencing, and you start dying or developing cancer. And what's going on right now, people, and there's no response at all. When I spoke to the engineer, the so-called nuclear engineer under Senator Feinstein 2 years ago, and at first he tried to blow me off, just like Guy Vedder from the University of Berkeley. But after I asked this pinhead a number of questions, I realized this person would not pass my muster on a face-to-face questionnaire in first-year physics, let alone be saying they're a nuclear expert.
Right.
So they shut down the Idaho, for example, National Radiation Detection Network, as soon as it spiked 700% higher than their background level, and they never replaced it. And they absolutely refuse to do, the federal government refuses to do, as well as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission or the International Atomic Energy Agency, any radiation buoys in the ocean, any air sampling. In fact, I recommended, and this is almost 3 years ago now, that we take radiation detectors in aircraft. And I took one when I flew to Portland to see my son, my oldest son who's studying natural medicine, oriental medicine in Portland. And when we got to about 26,000 feet within about 300 miles of Portland, it spiked from about 50 background to over 2,000.
Wow. Right.
So we're moving into radiation plumes. So if we knew the flight path of the aircraft, we could determine exactly the concentration. There should be a sampling bottle system so the aircraft would then capture an air sample, and then it would be in a sealed chain of custody container and sent off to get nuclear magnetic spectroscopy with what's called neutron spectroscopy, where you hit the isotopes with neutron, you get specific banding telling you the concentration and the amount of specific isotopes that give you a fingerprint.
Okay.
None of this is being done. When I talked to Senator Wyden, who also traveled to Fukushima 3 years ago, and got freaked out. When he came back, and he was a real big mouse at first, he absolutely is doing nothing. There's not a health professional, no one that I'm talking to anywhere except a few people that are on Rent's program, including Yuichi Shimatsu and a few people in Japan that really do not have my expertise in radiotoxicology, human biology, or DNA ADX, which I've done research on for over 30 years. They have no idea what the heck's going on, and they have no idea how serious it is. And the problem is that they say, oh, we won't have solutions, so they sent in a stupid robot last week.
Right.
The robot died because it has a silicon-based chip, and of course you're going to get what's called neutron annealing, which shatters the chip in the integrated circuits, and you're getting what's called a swarm of beta particles for high-energy electrons that destroy the circuit channels.
So how much was that robot, and how long did it actually last?
I don't know how much it was, but it only lasted about 2 hours and died. It probably did nothing.
Right.
Of course, no human can go in there because it's 12 cyberts per hour, the radiation level, which is an unbelievable amount of radiation.
Mm-hmm. Did we learn?
Even if Mr. Captain America went in there, he'd probably be in there about 5 minutes before he'd be drooling and not know where he was.
Right. Did we learn anything about the current condition in those 2 hours? I mean, was there any information garnished from that at all?
No. No, not only that, what they actually did is on purpose to say we are really incompetent, even though the quarterly profits for TEPCO Corporation, which is a large umbrella corp in Japan, are getting bigger than ever. They're not putting money or even talking about getting a panel of what I call a Manhattan-style project, which I've recommended 4 years ago, to get the best minds on the planet. I laid out exactly not only how to remediate Fukushima Daiichi, which I can kind of go over now. First off, you need muon detectors to detect where the corium is. You need to convert the entire site to a waste site where you put in hyperosmolar boron and make a boronated crystalline sarcophagus. You need to put Kevlar spider silk tents over every facility and over the entire area. You need to filter the air and the water. You just need to build a reserve area in front of Fukushima Daiichi so that when the water leaks through the aquifer, you need a diversion project above it so there's no water coming off the mountain toward the whole site because there's an entire river of water running underneath Fukushima. I said exactly what they need to do to stop this, and they could do it in probably 2 to 5 years. They could stop it if they started 2 to 3 years ago. And I laid out exactly these things 3 years ago, and I have no response, not even from anybody else on any other so-called major network or anybody willing to challenge me because they don't want to fence with Dr. Daigle because I'm going to raise questions. And I said, I don't mind you proving me an idiot or I have a wrong perspective or it can't be done. And last week I saved specific details of how to get rid of the Colonel Bearden's scalar technology in Tesla, Nikola Tesla's subatomic particle time-dependent quantum physics and how to get rid of isotopes in the ocean and the troposphere of the air. I know exactly how to do it. And if we had a panel of 10,000 scientists and I gave them specific marching orders on how to do specific things in the technology, we could clear the radioisotopes that are now poisoning the entire northern hemisphere. And it's not just the northern. There's the escalator that brings water from northern troposphere to the southern troposphere across the equator. That's 300 times more water than the Amazon every day.
Wow.
So we have massive surges of radiation that hit Brisbane, Australia.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio, right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a one-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence. And the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Down the rabbit hole with Popeye, Tuesday through Friday,
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you all of you guys who are hanging out in the chat room. If you have questions or comments for Dr. Deagle, I will do my best to steward them across. Dr. Deagle.
By the way, every hour of the program, except the first hour on Fridays, is open lines. 800-259-5791 over at Genesis. They can call in and they can voice. There's no ad hominem attacks allowed, but any valid question is open season. Have to just stay on the topic, though. If it's nutritional, we talk nutritional, but if it's open, they can ask a question about anything, and I'll try to provide an immediate answer or a framework for finding a better answer down the road.
Well, there you go. Well, I think today we've definitely established that you are probably the most well-qualified to educate us all about what's going on at Fukushima. And I wonder if just for some of the newer listeners out there, if we could kind of break down into some layman terms some of the important stats and, important details about what's actually going on there.
Okay, the first thing is that Fukushima Daiichi had 3 nuclear reactors. Reactor number 1 was sitting directly on the fault line, so it actually, the reactor core was broken before the tsunami arrived. So it wasn't just the fact that they swamped it. They cut down what's called a natural berm, which is in front of Fukushima, which would have stopped the tsunami from striking the reactors. And the backup diesel generators were swamped, so their air intake was actually swamped by water, so they had no backup power. They also did what's called a enhancement of what's called the Mark 1 reactors, which were, again, General Electric Mark 1 reactors, which are, geriatric. I call pulse geriatric.
Okay.
And this foe basically mean they couldn't release hydrogen from the torus, or the main area of the reactor core. So that there was a big argument between the engineers whether or not they're going to release the hydrogen or not, because they knew it was going to cause an explosion. And if you have a hydrogen explosion in the torus, it can also compress the corium and cause a nuclear explosion.
Okay.
So what happened is reactor number 1 and 2 lost backup power, and they went what's called hot. Reactor 1's corium core was actually broken. The containment was broken immediately with the earthquake, because the actual earthquake cracked the core. Reactor number 3 was called a MOX, or mixed oxygen fuel reactor, which is used for making plutonium pellets for nuclear weapons. So it's an illegal facility. The cooling pools, basically what's happening to the entire area now is what's called thixotropic. It's been made into a liquid oatmeal, and the entire facility is kind of tilting and falling apart. Plus, what's called neutron annealing makes the metals and the plastics and concretes crack and break. When they put the chambers together to control the amount of water, what they've done when they've got too much water, they just release it into the Pacific.
Wow, okay.
And they tried to say that they were just going to release, strontium. They couldn't stop it. And what's called their special filtration system was to grab strontium. There's 200 isotopes. They weren't worried about technetium 99, thorium, americium, anything. They were only trying to tell people that are uneducated, oh, we're going to capture this. And by the way, they never did. Their filtration system never worked. So they're massive neutron beams. And in fact, if you flew over the air, you could see a neutron beam arching through the sky like a light show, say at the Coliseum in Los Angeles.
Right.
And it does, when the neutron beam hits the nitrogen in the air, it turns the light in the air into blue. So it looks like a Star Wars game.
Wow.
So people need to understand the amount of radiation that's already been released from Fukushima Daiichi is thousands of times worse than Chernobyl. The estimated death caused by Chernobyl in the first 25 years is 4.5 million. And this is thousands of times worse than that already. In northern Japan, children that live in Fukushima Deep Prefecture and Oi, which are downwind in the regional areas, are being what's called radioactively dwarfed. They're not releasing growth hormone. They're getting thyroid cancer. They're getting mitochondrial dysfunction. They're getting failed to grow, period. And women are either aborting or getting up, getting permanently sterilized, because if you try to have a child, you either have a disorganized mass, you're going to have a monster. Most of the fish offshore, they're trying to ship to other countries, even humanitarianly ship their so-called rice, and it's radioactive. And you see these people chomping on pickles and eating fish there with funny faces, these movie stars from Japan.
Right.
In front of their cotton-picking mind. The amount of radiation that's going on right now has killed the orca whales. So if we have Dana Durnford, who's a genius, if you want to call it, at scuba diving and marine ecology. And he worked in the intertidal region in the last 6 months off the Georgia Strait area, where I used to practice in my locums in the late 70s in British Columbia, Canada. And I can tell you, it's a giant forest there, and it's dying. There's not even carrion birds or insects on the beach. The orca whales, there are no orca whale babies, so the orca whales are not singing in the oceans anymore. There's no more singing of the whales. Wow. Whale experts know this. The starfish are falling apart. This last week, they actually called off the smelt run for British Columbia, Oregon, and Washington State. They're gone.
Is that part of the sardine factories that closed down?
The sardine factories are closing down, and they're not saying anything. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. It's a virus.
Right.
It's global warming. You know what's warming? What's warming is a place in hell for them.
Roger that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I can't believe it. And the thing is, in the past, people would at least show enough disrespect to make it hominem attacks and say, don't believe Deagle. He kills patients. Or he's a nut. He thinks he talks to God. Yeah, I do, actually. And you better know that what's going on right now, and I can speak this prophetically, we're done. If mankind doesn't repent right now, we actually get real with the Constitution and with the latest monster that we've had in the White House, Mr. Obama, and the turncoat, sneaky Republicans that are basically supporting him. And the coming wicked witch of the West, you know, Hillary Clinton, the most evil person I've ever physically met on the planet yet.
Right.
We're done. And this is not a rehearsal. This is not like, oh, well, you're a late night TV radio host. You're a burnt out doctor. I'm not burnt out at all. I do research with scientists in Russia and China, developing new technologies. I do my radio show. I'm writing books. I'm going to write a book that'll be out by the summer called Dr. You, that if you read it, it'll go A to Z, all different health conditions, what you need to do medically, nutraceutically, from epigenetic technologies such as the QRMA and the ADLRIS, which will actually diagnose right down to your particular part of your chromosomes, particular organic acids. It tells you what functional medicine tests, blood, urine, stool, genetic, organic polymorphisms. I'm an expert in all of them. And I'm putting it all there so it's going to be something that's readable for the average person to say, I can take XYZ nutraceuticals because I have hypertension, or I'm starting to lose my memory, or I got peripheral neuropathy because I'm diabetic, or I can't get pregnant, or I've got this skin condition, or I have chronic recurring sinus infections. I have a solution in our wellness conditions at NutriMedical.com for every health condition, including genetic disorders on the planet. And if I don't have a solution, I'll work up one and post it, and I post it free for anybody who buys even just one product they can get access.
Very nice.
Yes. So when people say, you can't find a solution, I have a solution for everything.
Copy that.
People say that's a little bold. Guess what? If I don't have the solution, I have a framework to find a solution. So when people say you can't have one in 200 years, there won't be a human race in 200 years. In fact, I can tell you, at the rate we're going with the radiation bioaccumulation, the human race will basically go out and whimper by 2050. Human beings will not be able to reproduce. You'll have a massive decrease in human lifespan. women, especially in places like Japan, by the way, 2 years ago, the Japanese were given land by the Brazilian government. They now can move most of Japan to Brazil. The Indians in Kerala, India also gave giant tracts of land, so the Japanese are building factories and homes there. They're moving quietly away while we're in the tailpipe of this mess, and our idiot late-night TV host in chief, Obama, is sitting there smirking at us and with his bobblehead bouncing around when he walks around the White House, pretending there's no problem and we're all dying. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Crazy, and these idiots think, and I just get disrespect or I get being ignored. I don't like being ignored. We are not the alternative media. This is something that I want to make sure people clear of. Your show, my show, whatever. We are the media. We're the only thing between the devil and the deep blue sea.
That's right.
If you talk about the regular media, I call them the snooze-tainment, the six vomit channels out there, you know, the Cartoon News Network, the False News Network, etc. Mm-hmm. They're just there to soporify, to anesthetize the population to be good animals before they put us down.
That's right.
And most of the world population, by the way, people have to understand why they're not fixing Fukushima, why they don't have people like, who's that nuclear scientist that's on that has a regular show, and he came out pretty strongly about Fukushima.
Emoto?
Emoto, yeah. No, I'm not talking about Emoto. I'm talking about the nuclear guy.
Yeah, I know. I can picture him, but I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
Right. Well, I belong to the Society of Social Responsibility for Medical Scientists for over 40 years. And there's 40,000 scientists in his group. Why are they not speaking up? Why are they not raising a series of even good questions? Let's reinvent technology. Let's talk about Dr. Colonel Bearden's patents and Nikola Tesla. I laid out exactly how we can get rid of isotopes in situ by literally shattering like micro diamonds in the, by using subatomic particle harmonic physics. I explained it in specific technical detail last week on my show on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't get anybody challenging me and say, no, you can't do that, Deagle. Yeah, we can do that actually. And if we don't do it, the human race and most of the biosphere is going to die.
Well, Dr. Deagle, I mean, that's really the question on the table is why, if all of this capability exists to mitigate these problems, why are they not?
Why do you think the medical profession is so corrupt? I graduated medical school in 77. That's 38 years ago. Okay? Do you think that I think the medical profession is about the business of trying to cure disease? Are you kidding me?
No.
Are you kidding me? Personally, was one of the main doctors that discovered magnesium through the advanced cardiac life support protocols in 1978. And I did it when I was working in the emergency department as a resident at the University of Calgary. And I got tired of people cardiac arresting on me and I couldn't get them back. So we would give the typical stuff they tell us, you know, give this calcium gluconate, give that one intravenously. And they call me Dr. Wild Bill. So I do a central cardiac injection with a 12-inch long needle directly into the heart or a subclavian or central artery or central venous line. Directly into the heart to try to get it back. And I went back into research in the library and I realized the heart ligation studies done at the University of Texas at A&M, that all you had to do was give magnesium and these cardiac arrhythmias that would come back, whether it's torsade de Pointes, hypothermic cardiac arrest, or what's called fine V-fib. So you gotta give them a coarse V-fib so they'll respond to an electroshock with 400 joules. So I started ramming people I called the pharmacy up and I said, give me a whole pile of these vials of magnesium sulfate they had. That's the only thing they had. They used for toxemia pregnancy. I said, okay. So I started giving it directly into cardiac and I got people back from the dead, including people hypothermic that were literally dead and cold and had no pulse for 45 minutes. So I contacted Dr. Eisenberg in Seattle at the American College of Surgeons. That's a long time ago, 78. And that's why it's in the ACLS. When I did my research on diabetes, Dr. Roy LaRiche called me up, Dr. Deagle, what are you doing? You're doing research. He's a South African guy who's a college physician and surgeons in Edmonton.
Right.
And he said, you went to Dr. McEwen's office, who's the head of the Roncari Research Institute in diabetes, and you challenged him that diabetics have high insulin. We know that's not true. I said, well, it is true. He said, how the hell would you know, Deagle? I said, because I work with the head of pathology at the University of Calgary, tested at the University of Edmonton Hospital and butt checked every month at the reference lab in biosciences in La Jolla, California. Then he really freaked out. Well, I had to travel in the middle of a blizzard in a convoy and we had a blizzard so bad at 45 to 50 below from Calgary to Edmonton. I almost died getting there to meet this idiot, Roy LaRiche, who was mad that I discovered that diabetics have high insulin. So I was the first. This is 5 years before you know, glucose, you know, the insulin glucose tolerance test became common.
Right.
Before the reverse T3 test, which I brought from Germany 35 years ago. So I've made a lot of discoveries in medicine, and every single one of them, I have been persecuted. I have been beaten up. And now, for example, the original research I did with Dr. Murray Vimy at the University of Calgary, Roy calls me up and says, "You're working with the dentist." I said, "Yeah." He asked me to work on the toxicology of mercury. This is 35 years ago. 35. And hundreds of dentists in North America have lost their licenses because they started to remove mercury back then, until Dr. Hal Huggins, who lost his license for doing it in Colorado, came back from Mexico after 8 years and sued them and got a law passed that they have to treat mercury. So there's still vets in the United States military giving mercury, I call vitamin A, which isn't a vitamin. And that's because of my research and my persecution. So when I say this about Fukushima, heed, like one of the ancient prophets, take heed, O mankind, for your demise is nigh.
Right. So let's talk about what's the number one thing. We always talk about iodine. I'd like to get into iodine just a little bit.
Let me tell you what, the first thing you want to take is nitriodine. It's the only, and you'll hear Alex and others all toting their garbage iodines. Iodorol and Iodocaps and all these other ones are toxic. If you take diatomic iodine or iodine that's from seaweed, it's going to contain heavy metals. If you take what's called an iodate, it's so toxic, the government, when Fukushima first came out, had to put a national alert out and stop the pharmacies from selling it or online sales. Potassium iodate can cause neuropathy, retinal damage, and seizures.
Okay.
And cardiac arrhythmias. So you want to take our monoatomic Tesla-activated iodine, and it'll help protect your mitochondria. And we're talking about not a high dose. It's 5 drops twice a day is enough, unless you're hypothyroid.
How does the iodine actually work, Dr. D? Like, what does it actually do on a physical level?
Well, the first thing it does, number one, is it resurrects and creates new mitochondria.
Okay.
Second thing it does, it actually helps catalyze the 5' deiodinase to take T4 and convert to T3 in your central and peripheral tissues, in combination with 600 minerals in your autonomic nervous system. And then the other thing that it does, it kills all known pathogens. Monoatomic iodine, and it was prophesied by Edgar Cayce, and no other scientist has been able to do it except the scientist that works with us. It has to go through a special type of Tesla field. It's very dangerous to do this. It causes explosions. It takes many hours of cooking it in a special field to actually create the monoatomic activated iodine. It has a different molecular signature. It's not the same as other iodines. If you take any other iodine and you take a high dosage, you can actually cause hypothyroidism by taking an excess dosage of iodine. This will not do that. It'll do the opposite. In fact, many people have stopped taking their thyroid when they take a nitriodine because they regenerate their thyroid gland. They regenerate their mitochondria.
Interesting.
And most diseases, again, this is the basis for all disease, require three things. Decrease electron density in the cytochromes of your cells. Decrease pH, which is decreased electron density in the cytochromes of your cells. That's acidity. And hypoxia, which means your cells move to anaerobic glycolysis. So whether it's cancer or autoimmune disease, I have protocols and nutraceuticals to treat that, because the underlying metabolic processes that cause cancer and autoimmune disease are identical. And everyone else, and this is everyone else on the planet, views cancer as a weak cell, it's mutant. It's not. It's a strong cell that's stressed. Cancer is not a weak cell that's mutant. It's a strong cell that's stressed. And if you de-stress it and give it specific nutraceuticals like ascorbic acid or malignant block, mm-hmm. and malignant rest, etc., you can reverse that. And minoquinone 7, vitamin K2, you can reverse and make the DNA in the cells repair itself or go through programmed cell death or apoptosis. So most of the way people are approaching illness is completely wrong-headed. 80% of the drugs out there are dangerous. 20% are appropriate in certain circumstances. 5% of vaccines are safe if you can be certain that they don't contain heavy metal adjuvants, toxins, or other things.
Right.
Example, for Fukushima, people should be taking our NutriDefense, which I designed personally to protect your immune system, to bind and iron and act as a cellular antioxidant. The most powerful antioxidant in the world is called polyphenon, which is an anhydrous ACGC catechin.
Okay.
You should be taking chelating agents like Chelormax and our liquid zeolite. We have the only non-acid wash zeolite in the world. It's also less expensive. Our Chelormax will pull out the heavy metals. Cell detox glutathione and Nutritrala, which is the only long-acting alpha-lipoic acid, and Regenerex that turns on the genes to protect your cells from oxidative stress and radiation. So I have radiation protocol. We also have things like NIOSH masks. We have all kinds of things. And if you look at our protocols, they're very straightforward. And if people say, well, they don't believe that it actually protects you, I can direct you to labs to even measure your DNA adducts and your oxidative stress in your cells and tissues. In blood tests and genetic tests like 8-hydroxy-2'-deoxyguanosine, T-bars, etc. So when people challenge me and they say, Dr. Deagle, how can you prove that? I can prove it. Whether it's a research lab, a certified, external federally certified laboratory, or quantum testing like the QRMA, which is developed by Dr. Ye Zhang in China, and he worked at MIT, mm-hmm. or the 8D LRIS developed by Dr. Nemtsov 35 years ago for the Russian Space Agency. And I'm working on the latest iteration of the technology with the scientists from China and Russia right now. So you can actually section through organs and tissues and ring down and say, you've got a bronchogenic carcinoma in the right middle lobe, and it's a specific cell type, or wow. a blocked artery, or a tumor, a multicentric astroglioma in the right interfrontal lobe. You can actually see it on the scan by just putting on these headphones, and it can scan your body. And then I can go back and say, I want to do a specific type of T1 weighted MRI scan or PET scan or quantitative electroencephalogram or organic acids in your urine or whatever. And I can prove to you that I know what's going on.
That's outstanding. I mean, that is absolutely amazing, Dr. Deagle.
In fact, I'm actually working on the idea of having what I call these special vans where you'd actually hit a phone app. And a van with a mild hyperbaric chamber and ozone therapy would come out. It also has a morphogenic field machine, which I'm developing with Dr. Michael Chen, who's an engineer in China.
Okay.
And what you do is the morphogenic field machine will pick up your body frequencies of all your tissues and rebalance the spectral analysis of the gene epigenetics and reset your genes while you're in the chamber. And we have a version of that right now at his clinics in Shanghai and Hong Kong, and I'm going to develop the next generation with him in the next few months.
So you're hopeful then to have like an actual home service that could take some of this,
Yeah, you could just literally hit the phone app and it would actually know your phone GPS coordinates. It could be your home or office and this is something, it needs a lot of investment, but it could be done anywhere in the world. It could be in Russia, you could be in Edmonton, Alberta, you could be anywhere.
Wow.
And the van would just come to your home, you'd hop in the chamber, it would tell you what's wrong with your body, it would tell you what nutraceuticals, you could even, if you don't want to swallow pills, I tell people we can show you how to become a nutraceutical barista, where you open the capsules, puncture the soft gels, use our drinks like Life Support, which is our most popular one, Ageless, Ageless Energized, Glycemics, and NutriComplete. You can make a barista, make a super smoothie with all the nutraceuticals you need, never need to swallow a pill.
There you go.
So when people say, I can't do this and I can't do that, I always meet objections and say, don't tell me you can't. And I want to also, when people say you can't afford it, well, you don't have to have it. What I want to do eventually is have a service where I call it, instead of healthcare, I call it life care, because healthcare really should be a pseudonym for pre-embalming care.
Right.
it's like the old story, the play about Voltaire 245 years ago. And Voltaire in his play is a very sarcastic character like me. And he said, older doctor says to the younger doctor, I'm leaving on vacation for 3 weeks. The younger doctor, when he comes back, he says, doctor, that patient that was bothering you every week and upsetting you so much, and you complain about her coming in and bothering you, I've cured her. And the older doctor tears his hair out and is screaming, my God, why did you do that? We do not cure disease, we treat it.
That to me is the biggest tip off. I always drive down the street and there's this big billboard here on Highway 54 that's got this ad for a cancer treatment center. And I always think, I give my cat a treat give my neighborhood kids a treat.
Chemotherapy. You think you got cancer because you have a chemotherapy deficiency?
No, I wouldn't think so.
You think you have a blocked artery, for example, and I'm a student of the research on this. Dr. Chernov in 1904 at the Russian Institute for Research had cholesterol they gave to rabbits and they got heart disease. So, oh, cholesterol's bad. So everybody hopped on what I call the dogma of cholesterol's bad. But by the way, 60% of the dry weight of your brain is cholesterol.
Really?
So they repeated the studies in the mid-90s, and again, most pinhead cardiologists and internal medicine, family doctors, etc., still believe that cholesterol is bad for you when they're idiots. Cholesterol, unless it's oxidized to 9-norinol hydroxycholesterol that can not only create free radicals in your artery walls and damage the intima, but when macrophages or big eater cells eat oxidized trans fatty acids or oxidized cholesterol, they die and become foam cells and release soluble ICAM 1 and 2, and other things like TNF-alpha, IFN-gamma, and other inflammatory markers that precipitate the extrinsic clotting pathway and cause fibrin and platelets to build up and create a plaque. I explained this to Dr. Roger Damley, who did 8 years of training in cardiology at Mayo after he finished his cardiology residency. He was sharing an office with me in Denver. We had a big office at the Swedish Hospital Medical Center. I took over the practice of 4 general internists and worked in the ICU. And he said, "By God, Deagle, you're going to ruin our business." And I said, I'll bet you do cardiac casts on a Thursday afternoon, and I bet you get 5,000 a pop. He said, "Man, you're betting 1,000. I said, "I bet you get a great handicap on Wednesday, because it's the day before you do the cast." He said, "And I don't even have to put the catheter in their groin. All I have to do is squeeze the syringe, do an electronic dictation and electronic signature, and I'm done." I said, "Now I know why you got such a great handicap." And all of a sudden, he got white again. Pupils as small as pinpoints. He realized, "You are going to ruin our business. That's damn certain."
Wow.
I'm not in medicine to make a bucket of money. I'm into medicine to solve problems.
I hear you.
I had, my professor told me I'd have my PhD accepted and received at 22, and I've been a full professor at 28 in marine bacteriology, oceanography. And I went into medicine because my grandfather was dying of diabetes. And this year I'm going to be publishing my theory of what diabetes is. And by the way, Alzheimer's is diabetes of the brain. So when you all see these Alzheimer's units popping up all over, it's astrocytes that are now getting glucose resistance because the glucose 4 transporter is shutting down their brain because they have angry fat generating cytokines because of our toxic diet. It's not so much, it's what we eat that's creating inflammatory or toxic fat, and those genes are being switched on or called famine genes.
That's right.
If you have those famine genes, it doesn't matter what you eat. If your fat's angry, you're going to get fat almost nothing, and if you develop insulin resistance in your brain, you're going to get Alzheimer's.
Wow. Dr.
That's
D,
why medium change triglycerides is so important, like coconut oil, for people that are starting to lose their memory if they're diabetic or pre-diabetic. So when I talk to people that think that they know better than Dr. Deagle, prove it to me.
Roger that. Dr. D, we've only got about a minute left. Do you want to leave us with some words of wisdom?
I went to DecoNutriMedical.com.
Yes, sir.
By the way, get it backwards. It's clay and iron. CLAYANDiron.com. That's the religious above government technology. By the way, I have the patent information there from the Finnish munitions expert that was contracted by the Port Authority of New York in 1998 to demolish the buildings with micronukes and high explosive RDX boards. So when people say, "Dr. Deagle, it's just your theory," it's not a theory. It's a fact. So if they go to NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or they call our order line, 888-212-8871, 888-212-8871, all they need to do is buy one bottle of anything. And for a year, the rest of the year, they have access to the wellness conditions, the live stream TV channel. They can call on the show and get answers to their health, their wellness questions, geopolitical. And I will provide an answer to any problem, anytime, anywhere, period.
Very nice. Dr. Deagle, thank you very much for taking some time out to join us today for this very in-depth and very interesting discussion, sir.
Well, I hope that we can help. And again, I say, tell people, I love you out there. I care for you, the human race, but don't mess with me.
There we go. Thank you again, Dr. Deagle. We'll see you very soon in the future. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was it for the program today. Appreciate you guys all hanging out. Lots of people in the chat room all day. Really nice to see you guys in there. Tomorrow, Jamie Hanshaw will be joining us. We're going to be talking about the occult, and we're going to be talking probably a little about CERN. I'm going to try and get her on iPad Goat, and we'll see where we end up. But definitely be here for that. You guys take care out there. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we will see you guys tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.